Luke chapter 24, hey man, it sure is. I'm glad I serve and have put my trust in a Savior who is able to save to the uttermost and give eternal life. He deals in the eternal as well as the temporal, the creator of heaven and earth. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be looking at some of his sayings, what he had to say this morning. Luke chapter 24, and I want to begin reading in verse number 36, Luke chapter number 24. The Bible says this, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat? Verse 42, and they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. In verse 44, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We ask, Father, your hand would be upon the message. We pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask that you would be with your people that have come out today. And Father, I ask that that their heart would be tender, and that the Holy Spirit would do a work. Father, edify the saints, build them up, encourage them, strengthen them. And Father, be with those that have not put their faith or trust in you as Lord and Savior. I pray today the Holy Spirit would do a work in their hearts and draw them to you. And Father, I pray that you would save the one nearest hell, and be with us today. Bless everything that's done. I pray that you get glory and honor out of it. Be with this message. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here in Luke, this is a place where we have read the last two Sundays, but here I want to dwell a little bit different application and look at what did Christ say? What did Christ say? A lot of times when you deal with individuals or you make a witness, you'll get to talk about Scripture, maybe with Scripture, but a lot of times it will come down to what does the Scripture say? What is it saying? A lot of times we'll put our mind, our thoughts, maybe our beliefs, our philosophies, maybe even our education, we'll push it and really kind of not connect with actually what the very words of the Bible actually say. What does it say? And you'll notice that Christ himself put preeminence on what Scripture said. And so one of the things that's important when you do witness is just stick with what it says. It's important. A lot of times, education will get in the way, smarts will get in the way, and we'll begin to talk about or expound upon something that's not very clear in Scripture. Amen? And one of the preacher friends, dear friends, Dr. Paul Dabdu, said, look, where Scripture isn't clear, that's a good indication you need to just be kind of quiet, not so clear. And where it is clear, you need to be clear. And so a lot of times we get off in the weeds as preachers, witnesses, whatever, and try to explain something that is gray anyway to start with. Here, we want to look this morning on what did Christ say? What did he say when he was here on earth? We know that Jesus Christ taught and preached quite a bit in his earthly ministry, and he healed people, he fed people, he taught people, and he gave help where he could. But if you were to look at the subject or the theme or even the words that Jesus preached, you would see his message was and is consistent. It's very consistent. And it aligns with the Father's will, amen, and it aligns with Scriptures, and his words are true and they are life, as the Bible indicates and tells us. But here this morning, we know right in Luke, dealing with this, and last week we dealt with one of the last messages dealing with our series on Go Ye, our theme for 2024, being willing to go and to share the gospel. And indeed, Christ does tell him right here in the Gospels in Luke, and I'm fumbling around up here, but he says this, he says, look, in verse 46, back in our text, just not kind of to go over everything we preached last week, but to give us a starting point, a jumping off point, look at verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Speaking of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now this is past, this has just happened. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So indeed, he makes the statement, number one, we see Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. It wasn't overly complicated. It's something that they, the 12 here or the 11 here, they had seen him do in his earthly ministry. He'd went and he'd preached and he had proclaimed what the will of the Father was. And we're going to look at some of those areas dealing with his earthly ministry. The first one that comes to my mind as you look, now we're at the end of Luke, look at St. John. We're right there and we know what chapter 1 has to do. It talks about the Word, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we even goes on to state doctrinally that the same was in the beginning with God. He wants you to know this. He wants this declared, and he wants it a written record of these statements, these truth statements, and they're found here in John early on. But if you fast forward, if you would, and you look at chapter 2, and you begin to look at the marriage, the first marriage that Christ, he goes, the marriage in Cana, and it's this first public miracle in the New Testament. You begin to, as he unfolds that, and you see that. But if you go to chapter 3, and you begin to see as Christ begins to witness or to speak or to preach, if you please, to individuals. And we see here in St. John chapter 3, verse 3, it says there was a man of the Pharisees, his name Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we could stop right there, and a preacher, you could preach on that very same thing. That he says, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This morning, if one of your desires for you or for your family member or somebody you love that has not put their faith and trust in Christ, they're not ever going to see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And the emphatic statement is, ye must be born again. A man must be born again. That's why you will hear teachers, preachers, books written declaring that a man or an individual needs to be born again, born of the Spirit. And so as this unfolds, we're noticing what Christ said. And that's his statement in verse 3, John 3, 3. But notice as this unfolds and where it goes, this conversation. Now, Now, Christ is not in this man's face. I don't believe so. I don't get this from the passage as you read it, as you break it down. But he's explaining and declaring truth to him. But he's putting it in such a way that Nicodemus is receiving it. And Nicodemus is definitely open. It's not a one-sided conversation or witness. Nicodemus is asking a question. And so we'll see this now in verse 4. It states that Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? That's a good question. I've heard older individuals, and when I say older, I'm in the 80s. I wouldn't even go to 70, 80s, 90s. And you just mature at that age. But I've heard people state in that age that I am too old to get saved. I've heard that, and it's a sad, and that's not true. And Nicodemus is kind of here. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? How does this happen? And I'm glad to state this morning, if you're old, God saves old people, and he saves young people. He can save anybody. It doesn't matter how high, how low, how old, how young you are. It's not about that. The contingency is if you're willing to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so here he says, notice what Christ says. I want to focus on what did Christ say? What is Christ saying? And I believe we can draw this from a couple of places here dealing with what do I say? When we preach the gospel, what do you mean? What does that look like in my life? What does that sound like? What are the words that should be used when I deal with an individual or deal with a group of people and I'm declaring the gospel? What does that look like? Most of us think in our mind that it's this, that you're standing up in a pulpit and you're declaring the gospel. Well, it's not really that. That's just a piece of it. That's for those that have showed up this morning to worship God and to praise God. But it's on a day-to-day in our lives, our daily lives, that witness comes to light. And that's where Satan, your adversary, will make sure you're disconnected, and your flesh and everything else will make sure you're disconnected when it comes to Monday through Saturday, where you're disconnected with sharing the gospel. Satan, our adversary, wants people to be blinded to the glorious light of the gospel. He doesn't want them to believe. And if he can convince you not to be a witness, he's doing his job. And let me say, he's very good at his job. Very good at his job. So let's get back to our text here in John chapter 3, verse 4. So Nicodemus asked this question, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I think this question, this latter question, is kind of like, let's get this to where it needs to go. So I'm going to ask a dumb question because I know this doesn't happen. You're not going to enter back into your mother's womb to be born again. But he asked the question. You hear questions like that, but it gets Christ to where what needs to be addressed. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, he says again, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Here he brings this kingdom of God back up, and we understand, as the Bible tells us and states, that this kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And you notice that Christ has introduced this Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And so he says, look, yeah, you have a watery birth. You need to be born of water, and you need to be born of the Spirit. So here, as he goes on in verse 6, he needs to explain now, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the water one. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. They're different. They kind of parallel one another, but both are essential if you want to see the kingdom of God. That's what it is basically stating. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Then he goes on, for the sake of time, look at verse 9, and we'll kind of skip as we move down into this chapter. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He was somebody who knew. He was a master of Israel. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law. He knew Scripture. And it will always be the religious crowd that kind of scratches their head when it comes to a spiritual birth and how the Spirit works inside the new believer. And so here, same thing is going on. Verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Basically, in a nutshell, he says, look, I can tell you about things that you can see and things you can know, and you still don't believe me. Now he says, when I tell you, verse 12, if I have told you earthly things, ye have believed not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? If I begin to explain the spiritual to you that you can't see and that you really don't know, you're going to really struggle with believing. It's going to take faith. It takes some faith. And he begins to introduce this thought on belief. Verse 13, and no man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Notice as he begins to turn this conversation back to the central focus point, you say, what do I do? What do I say in this witness? Remember, stay on point. In a witness, it's going to be Jesus Christ, him crucified, and him risen from the dead. Now watch. And Moses, now watch, he gives an Old Testament illustration. He's going to zero Nicodemus back in on what is he saying. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, verse 14, in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now verse 15, here we go. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Wow. Now that's the first. Now he's drawing him down. Now watch what he goes on to say. There's more that needs to be explained. And in Jesus, this is what Christ said. Verse 16. For this is to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He goes on, just in case there's any doubts, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But the contrast, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now watch verse 19. He goes on to explain it more. This is Nicodemus. Listen to this. And this is the condemnation. What is condemnation? Well, he explains it. That light is come into the world. I'll give you one clue who the light was. It says in chapter 1 that Jesus Christ was the light. He was the Word and he was the light. And it says that light is come into the world. And it says, and men love darkness rather than light. You say, well, how do you get off as a Bible person to say that people more bent to do wrong than bent to do right? Right here. It's because of the condemnation. The unregenerated heart of an individual doesn't give you a proneness to do right. It gives you a propensity or a willingness to want to do wrong. And so here, this is explaining condemnation, and he talks about light and darkness, and it says that men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. You go on in verse 24, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, imagine yourself in Nicodemus' shoes. Imagine you being a ruler of Israel, knowing somewhat of Scripture and what just was stated to you. This is what Christ said. This is indeed what Christ was about on earth. He wasn't necessarily about, well, feeding people. That's the most important. It was essential at the time, and he did it and took place of it. And he had a concern in that area, but his main purpose, his main concern was to be about his Father's business. And his first statement that we find early on in John is that ye must be born again. We can state that this morning. Not only are we to go and preach the gospel, but what we preach must state and realize the death, burial, and resurrection. You must be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. And so it's important. But as we move on, let's look at another area, John chapter 6. Let's go fast forward a few chapters, John chapter 6. And I'm wanting the middle of the chapter there, about verse 29. He is certainly about believing on the Son of God. He is certainly about declaring that it's a whosoever situation. It's not limited, and so it's a whosoever, but it's imperative that you understand that it's the cross, the death, and the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, notice John chapter 6 and verse 29. It says this, "And Jesus answered and said unto them," he's kind of speaking to his followers here, his disciples, and he's also speaking to a mixed multitude, if you please. And this is the area where they begin to hear his words, and they do the same thing Nicodemus does. They kind of miss it. They keep thinking the physical. They're on a physical plane. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned, the Bible says in Corinthians. And so he knows this, Christ knows this better than anybody. But as he shows them, now watch verse 29. And so he says, he answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They're wanting to know all about a bunch of stuff, and you've read this chapter, you'll find about it. He talks about the bread of life, Christ. He talks about all different types of things here, but he focuses back on that. The most important thing, the most important work of God is that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus Christ was declaring to them, again, in this portion of Scripture, that he was the one that Christ had sent. He was the Son of God. He was indeed the bread of life. He goes on to explain about the manna that your fathers eat of in the Old Testament. And that was that bread that come from heaven. He said, "I'm the same like that manna. I come from heaven, from God. I'm sin of God. And you're going to need to eat of me. You're going to need to drink of me." And so they begin to struggle. And he says that many walk away from him at this time because of the hard saying that he said. And he says, "Look, the words that I speak, they're spirit, and they are life." And again, a lot of people will miss it because of the physical or natural view or thoughts or beliefs that they have. They need to overcome that. We need to overcome. Amen. That's what happened when you got saved. It was with faith. You put faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, "Blessed," he tells Thomas, "blessed are those who haven't seen me yet believe." And that's you and I this morning. That's you and I since pretty much the cross, the Christians that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Here we're seeing in John chapter 6, verse 29. Now let's read down. Look at verse 35 here in this text. And he says in verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And you read on, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not." This is very important because even in his day, even when you were laying eyes on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there were people who did not believe him. They did not believe him. Imagine those today who simply do not believe him. Here's what I want to say to the person on the fence on witnessing, being a witness or sharing the gospel with somebody. Look, not everybody that you share the gospel with or be a witness to or a blessing to with the gospel is going to receive it or accept it. And so Christ knows that, Satan knows that, and Satan's going to work with your fear and your emotions, and he's going to get you to think, see, that's there. That's why you probably shouldn't do that, because they don't want nothing you have to say. Who would believe that anyway? And he'll get you sidetracked thinking, man, I don't need to do that again. Or having a fear of sharing the gospel because you say, well, I just don't know a lot about the Bible. I think I need to know so much before I can share. That never goes away, by the way. Never goes away. There'll be somebody out there that'll ask you a question you don't have a clue how to answer. That's going to be there. Focus back on the gospel and what Christ did on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Focus back on what you know. Focus on what you witness or testify to in your salvation. But Satan wants to make sure that you don't ever, ever share the gospel to anybody. If you don't believe what I'm saying, try it this week. If you can work up the nerve to do it. He'll be there because he doesn't want anybody to see the gospel, the light that sheds from that gospel that shines into the heart to shed to shed Christ. They come to the knowledge of Christ. In here, Christ is saying, look, you're looking at me, verse 36, and he said unto them that ye also have seen me and believe not. Let's read on. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Let me stop right there and make this point. We're about to do the will of God, not our will. If you look and assess your life and where you're at, compared to what the gospel is telling us, what Christ is stating and declaring to us that we should share the gospel, go and share. Where are you at when it comes to the wills? Man, my will is so far removed from what God's will is. God's not willing that any should perish. We use that verse a lot. That's true. And this is what Christ is stating. He said, look, I didn't come, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but that will of him that sent me. Now, verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Watch verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. There's a lot of people who can visually see the Son, have an ascent of the knowledge, but the second part, and believe on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, what kind of power does he have? Well, he had the power to resurrect himself, no problem. He will have no problem resurrecting you and I, those who have believed on the name of the Son of God. This is very important. You say, what is he stating here? He's stating emphatically that we need to believe on him whom he hath sent. That is Jesus Christ. Well, I thought it was the church I need to believe in, or the pastor, or the preacher. They're fallible. God give them as gifts, but they're not the Word of God. They're definitely not the Holy Spirit. Here he's saying you need to believe on Jesus Christ, simply put. You must be born again. Let's move forward a little bit. I want to use John chapter 11 just for this point. John chapter 11, if you would, I'm looking at the clock and I am running out of time quickly. John chapter 11 and verse 25, notice what Scripture states here. We're looking at what did Christ say? I've shared the illustration before years ago on a job site dealing. It was a client, a customer of ours, and she wanted to talk religion when they find out that you're a Christian or something like that. Some people want to talk about that. Other people, they ignore you, you know, or go around you. But she wanted to talk. I believe she probably was a saved lady. I'm not certain. One of the things she stated I'd never heard before is, like, I only believe the words in the Bible that are read, meaning those are the words that Christ spoke. And I thought, man, that's pretty good. I have to use that. And I got to thinking, well, the whole Bible is given by God. But you'll run across people who make statements like that. And here I'm showing you letters in red this morning, all right, if you're in that category. But Jesus says some emphatic things that are true and still true today. This has not changed. The commission that God has given to the child of God, to the disciples, to go and to share the gospel, preach the gospel, has not changed. He has not given us a new revelation. This is where we're at. And so in verse 25, notice here, he says here, I'm in John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Let's read on. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Wow, he put it right back on her in a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God this morning? Amen. Do you believe he has the power to resurrect your body at the last day, to give you everlasting life? I believe that. It didn't take a lot of faith. I was about 5 years old when I accepted Christ. Didn't know a lot about the Bible. All I knew is I needed to be saved. And I was putting my faith in Jesus Christ. And now he says, here's her response in verse 27. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Man, it doesn't get any clearer than that. It wasn't a light. It wasn't that I turn over a leaf. It wasn't that I believe my mommy, my daddy, any religion, the church. It was, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we see very simple, but God says, believe on him whom he hath sent. John chapter 8, let's back up. Let's get our next point. What did Christ really say? John chapter 8 and verse 23. John chapter 8 and verse 23. Verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, you can tell he's dealing with a group of people here. I can just tell the wording, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You know, that disconnects what is being stated in Scripture from religion. That disconnects what is being stated here from denomination. That will disconnect from tradition or anything else. It's simply put, you say, what is Jesus saying here? If ye believe not, ye shall die in your sins. You say, well, what am I believing? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. This is what he's stating. You say, this is simple. This is not complicated. What do I say to somebody when I share the gospel? Just simply put, man, if you believe not, you shall die in your sins. There's no hope. God can't help that person only if they believe. He's made the sacrifice. The blood has been applied. It says that God, the Father, has been appeased. He's accepted his sacrifice on the cross. He proved it by 3 days and three nights, resurrecting from the dead, proving physically that he was indeed the Christ, the Messiah. And so that has been accepted. That is the plan of salvation. So you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He makes another statement. Let's fast forward to John 14, and we'll close with this. John chapter 14. What did Christ say? What is Jesus saying? What is he trying to get across to every individual? John chapter 14, look at verse 6. He makes this statement, Jesus saith, here it is again. He is not saying, well, this is kind of suppositional. This is allegory. This is Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, what if I have a religion that allows me to just go directly to God? That religion is not a good religion because it's not a biblical religion. It's not part of truth. The way to get to God is through his Son. And so we see here that Jesus is stating, he's here on earth and he's declaring this, and he states three most important things. He says, I am the way. There is a way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Everybody here this morning, how young or how old, you are on a way. If you've accepted Christ, you are in his way. He says, I am the way. Then he says, I am the truth. He said, well, what is truth? That's the famous million-dollar question for today. It was in Pilate's day. Remember Pilate, the judgment seat? He says, well, what is truth? This morning you might be there, and it's answered in this scripture. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Well, I'm just not certain what is true nowadays. I'm with you on that. It's kind of hard to figure all that out with the day, the world we live in. But I know this, because of Scripture, that Jesus Christ is stating that he is truth. Well, there's many people who state that what they're believing in is true. But does it have a way? Oh, yeah, it has a way. A certain way. You got to live it this way, do this, do that. Is it say it has truth? Yeah. And then let's look at the next one, the third one. Here's the icing on the cake. He says, and the life. Does your way have life? Does your way give you eternal life? God says, I'm giving to everyone that believes in me eternal life. Well, most religions that are false fall short with that life. They have you on Mars. They have you as an alien. They have you doing all kinds of stuff. But other than what Scripture states. Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, what did Christ say? Christ said, you must be born again. Christ said, believe on him whom he hath sent, which is Christ. Christ said, if ye believe not, ye shall die in your sins. And Christ is saying that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the only way to the Father this morning. The Bible goes on to say, you've heard me quote it, you've heard the other pastors quote it, that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You say, well, how does that happen? How does that look? It looks like the man on the cross. That's what it looks like. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. It looks like when the lady here in John chapter 4 declared that he indeed, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter goes on to state that when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Some say that he was Isaiah. Some that say that he was Jeremiah, the prophets. But he says, who do you say that I am? He says, thou art the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's what it looks like when you call on God. That's the belief. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, plus or minus anything. I'm glad it's not with works. I would be out. You would be out. I'm glad it's not through a religious rite of some passage or some way. I would be out. And anybody else that couldn't go through that passage or rite would be out. God says it's a whosoever will. So what about somebody who can't speak? He says, with the heart man believeth. It's with the heart that man believeth. Yeah, with the mouth confession is made, but the heart man believeth. Doesn't matter if you can speak or not speak. It's with the heart. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe what Christ has stated from Scripture? That he indeed is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. Let's all stand up this morning as the Brother Jeff and Sister Leah comes and gets ready for our invitation song. If you're one in here this morning who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, today is that day. So, well, I thought it was hard. I thought I had to be a member. I thought I had to do something good. I thought I needed to clean up my act and live a certain way before I could ever get saved. Religion, that's not true. That's not true. When it comes to salvation, he says, in that while ye were yet sinners, the state of the person that God's able to save is a state of a sinful condition. Remember what he told the Pharisees, the religious people, those that thought they were good and well connected with God? He told them, he says, those that are not sick, they need not a physician. He said, the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners. By the way, every person, every human being is in a condemnation state until salvation arrives in the heart. He said, well, I got to walk an aisle. You don't have to walk no aisle. Well, I thought I had to get back. You don't have to do it. You have to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that you do need a Savior. You do need a Savior. What do we sing this morning?
270.
270.
Just